can sell this for thousands of dollars. And she said, yeah, I'll probably be passed away. I said, unfortunately, most artists become very popular after they're gone. So my wife told her not to go anywhere. So all I got to do is outlive Shane Pickett, and I got it made. Oh, Lord, we're having fun. But it is a beautiful picture, and it is called the Sea of Forgiveness. And the sign at the edge of the water under beautiful palm trees says, no fishing. In other words, once you're forgiven, don't go back fishing in that area. And that's what he's preaching tonight. It all came together today. So it is the perfect timing. And by request, he asked his mom to sing. And we're going to ask Sister Marshburn to sing. And then Brother Carson's going to come and preach for us.
It's been a long time since I've sung from a soundtrack. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. Bless the name of Jesus. It has been a long time. That's all right. I stand before you guilty and unworthy. How can I be forgiven and holy? And I know I break your heart, but you promised I could start all over, and all the things I've done, you placed them each and every one into the sea of forgetfulness. You've placed all of my sin, and I'm the one who keeps reminding you over and over again. Into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east from the west, 70 times 7, you've forgiven me, and you keep cleansing me and placing my sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, you welcome me with open arms of mercy. In spite of all I've done, you still keep loving me. And I only need to ask, and you erase all of my past forever. My debts have all been paid, and they have all been washed away. Into the sea of forgetfulness, you placed all of my sin. Oh, but I'm the one who keeps reminding you over and over again. Into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east from the west, 70 times 7, you've forgiven me, and you keep cleansing me and placing my sin into the sea of forgetfulness. It's your unfailing love that covers me and all my multitude of sin. It's your steadfast love that keeps reminding me I'm forgiven. Oh, into the sea of forgetfulness, you place all of my sin. Oh, but I'm the one who keeps reminding you over and over again. Into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east. into the sea of forgetfulness, and placing my sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow, why don't we give her a hand clap? What an incredible, incredible song. Why don't we give a hand clap to the presence of God that's here in this place right now? For His unfailing love, for His mercy, for that forgiveness. Wow, wow, wow. Let's all stand. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 is where we're going to start tonight. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. It says this: Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt, everybody say it, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, after hearing this, increase our faith. Basically, they were saying, I've been struggling with this for a while. It's hard to forgive sometimes. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Why would it talk about a tree being plucked up by the root? Roots go deep. Roots travel deep. Genesis 50 and 20 is where we're going to go next, and this is our final scripture, and then you'll be seated. But Genesis 50 and 20 says this: But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I want to serve notice on the enemy here tonight, that what he thought for our bad, can I say, the Lord intended for our good. Every struggle, every fight, every past mistake, every past regret, the Lord meant it for our good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God to speak. Holy Ghost, dear Jesus, I'm asking you right now, dear God, to speak to your people here tonight. Let the presence and the mercy of Almighty God, dear Lord, invade this house. God, we're so grateful and thankful, dear Jesus, to be in your presence once again, dear God. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint my lips of clay, dear Jesus, to speak, dear Lord, what you have intended for your people to hear. And it's in that mighty and wonderful name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message entitled tonight, God Doesn't Go Fishing. Now, before we go any further, I want to make something very clear. We are called to be fishers of men and not fishers of problems. So when I say God doesn't go fishing, I'm speaking on how He doesn't fish for your past mistakes. The forgiving power that is given to us through repentance is something that has always astonished me. Just think about it. A mind made up to make it to an altar, and from the depths of your heart, with true emotion, beginning to tell God you're truly sorry for what you have done. And then all of a sudden, the blood from Calvary begins to flow once again. And God Himself has created it so to where He can't even see what you did. Such an astonishing power and privilege that God has given us. In many cases, many of us wouldn't even be here tonight if it wouldn't have been for past problems that we faced. We needed deliverance. And that's why we're here. We needed a special touch from God. And when we arrived here, God did just that.
We needed a miracle in our lives, and when we came here, we received our miracle. And that's why we're here tonight. You see how when the Word of God says that what the enemy intended for your bad, God meant for good. The enemy thought that he was going to stop you. The enemy thought that he was going to put a halt on everything that you desired from God. And then all of a sudden he realized something. I put this on them, and they went to the house of God and received their deliverance. You see, what the enemy put on you in many cases is what caused there to be glue that solidified you and kept you in his presence. Wouldn't it be amazing if our minds operated like the mind of Christ? The difficult part for us as human beings is to comprehend the fact that through our repentance, we have been forgiven for things that we can't forget. But many times it's our memory that haunts us the most. If I was to ask you here tonight, have you ever been offended by a friend, let down by a brother, hurt by a little bit of gossip, offended by a temper? If I understand humanity correctly, I'm sure you would say yes. And some, what I've said, might cause you to do the Pentecostal across the church stare.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's talking about you. Talking to our young people. You see, I know that God in his infinite wisdom recognized something. He recognized that when you have been hurt or wounded, that the enemy can inflict on you such an immense pain that memory can cause bondage from potential. And instead of becoming what God has intended you to be, you get hung up on anger or pain and created an excuse for an ungodly potential. And instead of becoming what God has intended you to be, you get hung up on anger or pain and create an excuse. I remember one day after we found out that my wife was pregnant with Cooper, our very first child, how excited and how scared at the same time I was to be a dad. One day I was at my mom and dad's house, and I was talking to my dad about a few things. I couldn't wait to start teaching my son. I couldn't wait. I began to tell him I couldn't wait for Cooper to get to the age to where I could take him fishing, to get to the age to where I could take him hunting. And all of a sudden, I began to see Dad with a little bit of a smile on his face, and he couldn't help but start laughing. Dad started laughing. He told me about the many times that he took me fishing and how on a few of those occasions he wanted to just throw my fishing pole in the water. He said, because it's my hook spent more time in the trees than it spent in the water. And time after time, he said that he would have to pray and get a hold of God right there on the front of the boat to keep from breaking something that he just bought his son. I've gone as far now, because now I understand exactly what he meant. I've gone as far as buying a special fishing pole that on the box, this is going to blow your mind. On the box the other day when I purchased it, it says this, tangle free. Tangle resistant. Have any of you ever heard of a tangle free fishing pole? Tangle resistant. And finally I learned that if I was going to enjoy a father-son fishing trip, that there was only going to be one fishing pole. And that fishing pole was going to be Cooper's. Because if I brought mine, then I was going to be focused on myself and not helping him learn from his mistakes. I can imagine Jesus on the cross as the blood flowed and the people taunted him. As the words were spoken that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In my Savior's mind, he was thinking, I'm not here to fish for problems. I'm here to fix the problems. Just as the song said, into the sea of forgetfulness. I want to challenge someone here tonight to not be held back by what you can't forget. I want to challenge someone here in this house tonight to never to be held back by what you can't forget. Many of us here tonight have goals in mind. We have things as though that the Lord has given us, and we know that it's the full promise of God for us to reach that potential. But then in the back of our mind, we begin to remember the things that we may have done, the things that we may have been involved in, the things that we may have talked about, the things that we may have said. And then all of a sudden, we begin to back up because we're so twisted up and knotted up in stuff that we shouldn't be fishing around in. Just as the song said, into the sea of forgetfulness. Matthew 18, 21 through 22 says this, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus was saying, my people are called by, that are called by my name aren't going to be fishing, aren't going to be a fishing people. They're going to be a fixing people. We're not going to be fishing for your problems. We're going to watch as God begins to fix your problems. You see, many times in life we find ourselves getting so excited about doing God's work only to find ourselves hung up and remembering the past wrongs that we've done. We find ourselves so excited about answered prayer. We find ourselves so excited about obtaining a closer walk with Him, a deeper relationship with God, one that extends far beyond Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday, Friday night youth, and Saturday night prayer, but something that sticks with us for the remainder of our lives. Every morning we get up, we've got to talk to Him. Every night when we go to sleep, we've got to talk to Him. While we're on our job, we've got to talk to Him. While we're at home, we're reading our Bibles. While we're eating, we're praying, we're fasting. While we're walking, we're teaching. While we're in homes, we're doing Bible studies. A relationship that extends far beyond religion. And time after time again, it seems like we get hung up. I know as a youth pastor talking to young people, I see the faces of young people that come into the house of God and they get so excited about grabbing hold of something so special and so powerful and grabbing hold of potential. And maybe they're a little bit talented with some music. Maybe they can sing. Maybe they can play an instrument. And they begin to get so excited about what God could use them for in the future. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the road, as they begin to be blessed and as they begin to be anointed, you find them all of a sudden remembering a past mistake. And they begin questioning their ability. They begin questioning the anointing of God that He's placed upon their life, because the enemy has brought back to memory something that God has placed under the blood. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that when God puts it under the blood, it's not even able to be seen anymore. Just because you can remember it doesn't mean it's affecting you anymore. When you begin to bring up what's under the blood, God begins to look at His people and say, what are you talking about? I can't find it. I can't see it. I can't smell it. I can't touch it. That was put under the blood. You don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm sick and tired of the enemy attacking God's people, trying to put in their mind that they're not able, trying to put in their mind that they've done something so wrong in their past that they can never achieve what God has in store for them. So time and time again, we begin to cast out there into the sea, trying to find something great from God, trying to find something incredible from God, and we latch hold of past mistakes and past regrets. Just like I said with my son, I realized just after a few times of fishing with him that there was only going to be one pole that was going to be involved in our fishing trips from now on until he gets to an age where he can handle it himself, and that was going to be my son's. And in the process of fishing, in the times that we do go fishing, my son will sit there beside me, whether it be at a pond, whether it be at a lake. We'll sit there, and he'll begin to cast out, and a lot of times he'll get hung up on a stick. Nobody here has ever done that? Who here has ever gone fishing, and then you cast out there, and catch a stick, and you think, oh, this is the big one. This is him. I got him. Bring it in. It's a fish stick. Yeah, you caught that one, didn't you? I remember one time, I got to tell it, Dad. I remember one time me and Dad decided we were going to go to High Rock Lake, and we were going to do some bass fishing, buddy. We found out that there were some big ones in this area, and we were going to get them. Dad had his boat already, Dad had his boat already. The battery was charged. The gas was in the boat. We got to the dock. We unloaded the boat. Here we go. We're taking off to this particular spot. We got there. We were so excited. I was excited. I got my fishing pole. I began to cast out on this side. Dad's casting out on this side. And all of a sudden, Dad's trolling around while we're looking for fish. And all of a sudden, I hear Dad, got him, got him, I got him, I got him. And I look over there, and this Dad's pole is doubled over. It's almost like we're in the ocean. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, he did. We caught a fish. We were just as shocked. Dad's pole doubled over, and it's going this way, it's going that way, and he's letting line out, he's pulling, and all of a sudden, psh. You ever had that feeling? How many fishermen we got here? You ever had that feeling? It's just like absolute failure. And you begin to imagine what you had on the other end of the line. Oh, I'm telling you, he had to be this big. So, I think Dad's fishing pole even broke. He was so just in such a fight with this thing. So we fished for the remainder of the day, and then finally we made our way back to the dock, and we're unloading the boat. And I see Dad standing in the front of the boat when we get it out of the water, and he's standing there. I said, Dad, what you doing? He's, nothing. What you doing? Nothing. I walk over, and Dad is doing what he's doing right there. Look at the trolling motor, and there's about 50 feet of line wrapped around his trolling motor. You needed that as much as I did. But when I take my son fishing, like I said, I'll sit beside him. And a lot of times he'll get hung up on things that is not really what you want to get hung up on in fishing. And he'll reel in, and with all of his excitement about having that fish on the other line, he'll reel it in, and then only to get to the edge of the water and see that it wasn't what he was looking for. And as his dad, what do? I pick up his line, I unhook whatever tangled to it, and I throw it back in the water, and I say, don't worry, buddy, keep fishing. Don't worry, buddy, he's out there, we're going to get him. Cooper will cast back out. And then all of a sudden, he grabs hold, and that hook finds exactly what it's looking for, and he catches that fish. I want someone in this house to recognize tonight, I know this message may be incredibly simple, but I've had it on my mind now for probably a week. I want someone in this house to recognize that each and every time that you're in the middle of trying to do exactly what God has called you to do, and it seems like you stumble, it seems like you're 5 miles out and you hit a stump and you can't go any further. It seems like you got so excited and so ecstatic and so thrilled about what's going on in your life, and then all of a sudden it seems like it just all breaks and it all falls apart, and you reel in something that you wasn't expecting, and you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, I failed once again. I want you to recognize that God doesn't go fishing. He doesn't carry a fishing pole with you. He sits beside you and he unhooks that problem. Every situation that you face, when you've pulled it out of the water, God said, you know what? That's not meant to be there. Let me throw that back in the sea of forgetfulness. Let me put this back out there where it's supposed to be. You know what? Cast it out again. Try it again. See what happens again. Go after it again. As many times as you have to, keep casting that rod out there. See what happens. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm talking to a young person in this place one day that maybe you've been trying to start home Bible studies and you haven't been able to find the one yet. You keep fishing because God's going to send them. I'm talking to a mom and a dad right now that maybe you've been fishing for a son or a daughter to be in the house of God, and you've been casting out time and time and time again, and it seems like every time you reel back in, there's something attached to it that you didn't want to see, that you didn't want to hear, that you didn't want to touch. I'll tell you right now, God's going to take it back and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. All the past mistakes, all the past regrets, all the worries, all the fears, all the cares, everything that's attached to it that's tried to shut you down and tried to make you quiet and tried to make you think that you're inadequate and you can't do it. God's removed all of that. He's taken it all away and he's thrown it back. I want to ask each and every one of you to stand right now. I told you it was going to be a simple message, but it's been on my heart, and I hope I was able to deliver it the way that I felt it. I know it affects young people. And I know it affects moms and dads. Humanity works just like that. We get to such a high and such a place in our life to where we think, oh my goodness, it just can't get any better than this. I'm on the road to exactly where I need to be. And then all of a sudden, you find out you're attached to the trolling motor. All of a sudden, you find out that what you reeled in, what you've been fighting for so long, isn't quite what you was fishing for. And then in your mind you think, oh my goodness, I got to start over. Let me tell you, funny thing about fishing is this. When you cast in one spot and you don't catch anything there, or you catch something that you didn't mean to catch, you automatically cast a different way, a different direction, a different spot, a different place. And so don't look at your past mistakes as failures, but rather look at your past mistakes as what the Lord meant for your good, so that you can change and go to a different direction. You see, God put that in your way. God put that in its place so that it would stop you before you was able to get a little bit too far. He put that there so that when you locked hold of it and you saw that it wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be, that you would say, nope, not this direction, maybe this direction. Nope, not this direction, maybe this direction. Nope, not this direction. There it is.
There it is. I've been fishing for so long, and I've been hurting for so long. I've been putting up with nonsense for so long, and I finally locked hold of what I've been looking for. Church, our guests and our visitors that come to this house and you see tears like you did this morning. We had so many guests, we had so many visitors, tears just flowing down their faces. They've been fishing in a world. They've been trying to find something. They've been reeling things and thinking, this is my happiness, this is my joy, this is what I needed, this is what I was looking for. And then all of a sudden they get here. Why are they here? Nothing. The Bible says that no one comes to his presence unless the Spirit draws him. You know what drawing is? The Word of God says that we're called to be fishers of men. Landmark, it's our job to send the lines out. And when we send the lines out, we need to know exactly where to cast. We need to know exactly how to cast it in our jobs, and how to cast it into our schools, how to cast it into our workplaces, how to cast it out into our... That way, when the Lord begins to reel back in, I just wonder here tonight, this is a simple question, but I believe maybe it might just be one person, might be two people, who knows? But I just wonder, is there anybody in this place that the enemy's been lying to you for far too long, and he's been trying to place you captive under your past regrets? Every time you think that, hey, I would really like to do this, I'd really like to achieve this, I'd really like to be able to make this happen, I'd really like to be able... And then all of a sudden, in the back of your mind again, the enemy says, nope, you remember what you did last Sunday? Remember what you did, where you were last week? What you did when you were 16? What you did when you were 15? What you did? And all of a sudden, we feel a sense of inadequacy. I want you to begin to think about it like this. When you begin to think like that, you're drawing something back from a past that God can't even see. He can't even see it. Maybe you're in this house today and you've been battling it for so long and you have yet to make your way to an altar of repentance and you've been carrying that burden for far too long. Tonight can be your night. Tonight can be your chance that you could get here and you could hit your knees and you begin to, from the depths of your heart, begin to say, God, look, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry, dear Jesus, for all the stuff that I may have done. I'm sorry for the way I may have been acting. I'm sorry for the way that I may have been thinking. I'm sorry for what I may have been saying. Then all of a sudden, you're going to feel that burden get pulled off. Acts 2:38 still cool to everybody? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've been fishing far too long, and you haven't grabbed hold of what you're looking for. Tonight's your chance. I'm just asking you, cast the line one more time. Don't give up. Cast the line one more time, and watch what God does for you. These altars are open here tonight, Landmark, and this is what I'm asking for. I want the church to come as a church body. And what we're going to do is we're going to begin to pray. Because I don't want any past regrets or past fears or past worries and doubts to ever overthrow what God has intentions of doing here in this house. Right. Every day that I step over into that new sanctuary, I stand in the sanctuary and I begin to look. Many times I've been in there with Pastor, and we look around and we see just the size of it and the ability and the capabilities that building possesses to be able to be packed out with so many lives and so many souls that are looking for Him. Listen, we're not going to be able to reach them if we can't step past of what the enemy's trying to put on us and look for those out there that are hurting. We've got to be able to lay all that stuff under the blood and let it go and leave it alone and not worry about it anymore. Because when God forgave, He forgot. When God forgave, He doesn't see it anymore. So I wish that someone right now here in this house would lift your hands to heaven and you would just ask God to recharge and rechallenge you right now.
Trust you, still
God, I'm trusting in you right now. Lord, I'm trusting in you, Jesus.
I will listen to your every calling. Though the storm rages on, yeah.
Let's make a connection with one another and let the Holy Ghost flow through us like a chain. Amen.
So
let it flow high voltage right now. The Master's doing a great work right here. Let's believe the Lord. Let's trust God. Let's believe God to do great things, mighty things, powerful things, most wonderful things.
And you, Lord.
For the Holy Ghost falling right here. Let's praise God for victory falling over here. For the anointing that's breaking every yoke, tearing down every stronghold. Believe God tonight for the greatest, the most wonderful, the more powerful. Hallelujah.
So I will not question.
Oh, yes, yes. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another. Our guests, our visitors. Amen. Speak to someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. Be a friend. Be a help. Be a hope. Praise God.